Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
I'm a lover of music of all kinds, but most of all, I'm a lover of God's word, which is song, and it's the best form of music there is.
That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart.
Worship is, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Keep talking to hell.
Tonight we have another minister of music in our studio. We have none other than the great and awesome James Lanier. James, how are you?
I am great.
Good. Now, James, let's just go ahead and get started. Who is James Lanier?
Okay, first I would say I'm a person that loves, first of all, God first, and I'm a person that loves to laugh, and I'm a lover of music of all kinds. But most of all, I'm a lover of God's word, which is song, and it's the best form of ministry. And, you know, that has been my desire since, I guess, a young child to sing gospel and to deliver the words of song. That's the best way, and that's the only way I know that compares a lot of people's hearts that, you know, searching for different things just to, you know, at the end time, and they're hurting just people that are going to different things, and, you know, music does a lot more than a lot of what people think that it does. I am a lover of music. I am a lover of God.
Because you're serving you in different venues, I have witnesses to that. And I agree with you totally concerning music reaching people that other means of expression. I've seen people who would interest in literature jam the gospel music.
Right.
I've seen people who would interest in literature, let alone the gospel preacher, listen to a gospel song and get convicted. So,
exactly.
It's very, it's powerful. So, let's go to the next question. Well, you kind of answered this question already, but I guess you can pinpoint it a little more. Do you consider yourself a minister of music? If so, why?
Yes, I consider myself a minister of music because it's like it's kind of like you're teaching people who God is, but you're just teaching them through song and you're letting them know about what he can do, and you're spreading his word, and you're letting them know what God is and who he can be to you, and that, you know, there's nobody else that can do the things that you do. So I guess in that way, in that form, I feel that I am ministering, and anything that I see when you're spreading God's word and when you're telling people who God is, I think that's a form of ministry, and when you're doing it through song, that's why I feel like I'm a minister of music.
Now, listeners, I can attest to people being seriously interested in when this young man opens his mouth to speak. We were shamefully recently in a group that he put up a thing that we'll talk about. The group that had moved to Vienna kind of addressed and adopted in, formerly known as YTC, acronym for Youth Accounts of Christ, ran by my husband, the librarian, and the host of this training broadcast. We recently had a reunion in the community, and we had a meeting with James as well as Ms. Tasha Morris, also as well. Monique Morris, Risha Jarvis, I have been a librarian, and Ms. Nikisha, Peaceful Nikki. We had a great time, and we sang a song called He is Able, and James told her to what we talked about in this broadcast. He has all three aspects of what I believe in Christian music should have. It should have spirit, it should have sound, and it should have stage. His spirit has been one with God. He loves God. He loves God's people. As far as stage is concerned, his presence brings his service excellent to wherever he goes. He represents God in an outstanding way. And as far as his sound, I didn't tell him about this before the interview, but James, you're going to have to give us something. You will hear his sound. I'm not even just a word, you just hear it. You'll be thinking of whatever song. It's not the whole song, just a 15 seconds.
Okay.
Each song. Before we end up the interview.
Okay.
When did you know this is what you were called to do?
I knew this is what I was called to do when I was 12 years old and before. Joining our local church when my mother and my got saved, I knew that it was a call to do because I think I was singing in my room one day and I was singing to whatever was on the radio and I was like, wait a minute, I think I can sing a little bit. And it was weird because my dream when I was 12, it was like, I wish I could join a choir and I wish I would have to audition. And so that someone could hear me as a child and be like, okay, would you like to sing with us? And it was so funny because when we got saved and we finally made a commitment to join the church and join the choir, and it was like that exact thing happened where my mother said, let's go join the choir. And I was like, okay. And we just sat in front of somebody in audition, and by singing in the choir, and usually you're afraid to do certain things, but when the first time the choir director said, hey, does anyone want to lead this song? It's like almost my hand, like someone moved my hand up, and I was like, hey, what did I just get myself into? So, as the years went by, I would do certain things at home, and how I would pick the karaoke machine, and, you know, I would pretend like I was in a recording studio with my little karaoke machine, and, like, you know, I was learning songs and putting things together on the radio, and then I would hear on the radio, and it was like, wow. And then to see myself in the studio today when I can do certain things and arrange different parts, and it's like, this is what I was called to do, this is what I was meant to do. I have other gifts too, but it's just like, wow, this is what has just stuck out for so many years.
Great.
Amazing.
That's awesome. The great musician that I've talked to in the church or outside of the church, they've had some type of initiation experience, I guess I could say.
Right.
Helping a neighbor child was something that happened for me. I started walking for me, well, I didn't hear anything, but I didn't know. For me, starting when I was singing before I could talk. It was easy to me at the kitchen table, humming and singing while we're eating, and my friend is like, oh. And as I got older, funny thing is, I grew up as a shy person. But that was my way of expressing myself when I did express myself.
Right.
So, basically, when I got to the age of 10, 11, I started writing. song would be, I would wake up with songs ringing in my ears so loud, it was like almost annoying. So I would wake up and I would sing it, and it just started something that has been there since. But I don't even know any song when I read it. So it's like everybody has had some type of experience when they were a child, or at some point, most of them when they were a child. So
right.
I don't know what it was from there, so I love hearing those stories. Right. Right. Everything that we do, it's sounded towards us to have April perspective, back and look at the entire picture, because if we get too focused on details, we will miss out. Yes, we have to be making more things to happen. The next question is, you can see that this is brought up when we were talking about writing in music, and then keep music in your series. What words of wisdom would you give to those in the ministry of music?
I would say, if you're in any position of leadership, I would say that, you know, anybody that's under you, I would say that you always encourage them to be better, because they're gifts, and, you know, and because every person that is young, they're up and coming, they're shy, and it's like you always need somebody to encourage you, to bring you out, to put you on that platform to show you that you can do this. So I always have people in my local church and different churches that I was a part of, and I can remember those people that let me do what God had put in me to do. Gave me that opportunity. And I would say to anybody that is in leadership, first of all, show love. That's the greatest thing we can show.
And make sure that you care for those that follow you, because if you show that you care, people will latch on to you, and they will stick with you, and they will support your gift, and they will support your ministry for forever, really, because I can think of, you know, one person I sing with, and his name is Darryl Powell, and I would think that he cared more about my gift, and he didn't care more than most of it.
I would say, he didn't care just about my gift. He cared more about what my spirit was on.
Right.
How well I can sing, and how, you know, how what I can do, and what I can do for him. So, and I've been in the church since I was 19, and I'm 29 right now. So, I would say that, you know, when you are in a position of leadership, just make sure that you, first of all, just care. Because, you know, people are coming to do things for us, and they're coming to do things for you. You know, they're coming out of their willingness and their heart, and it's care. That's the only way I can put it. So, you got a lot of people, like I said, that are, you know, really teach you for what they can gain and for your gifts. So that's the only thing I can
say. Okay. Just more than enough. That was good. So good. At this point, we're going to wrap it up. You're going to have to give a summit. So do you have a song yet? Do you need me to say a little more? Do you need some time?
Oh, no, I have a song already.
Okay, good. So you think you should immediately go into whatever contact information you feel comfortable giving for people who want to have your phone, because that's what you hear to me expect. It's a lovely message. Okay, go ahead, Jamie.
Okay, I'll have to sing a song that Frank Gorsi said I always sing. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you care just for me, in such a special way. That's why I praise you, and I lift you up, for you are my
I see, because you're singing, you're singing a song, and I just love God. Okay, what information, how can they get you to their church, or is this?
They can always reach me at my email, jayl126@hotmail.com, and there's always Facebook. JL Lanier.
And Lanier spelled how?
LANIER.
All right, thank you, Jay. For this time, I appreciate your time, and I'm sure that the listeners have enjoyed this broadcast, and this is the first time we're going to do a broadcast, but I guarantee it's not going to be the last.
I cannot wait.
So, regular and radio listeners, we have some more coming up in this broadcast, but stay tuned for more, and James, thank you very much, and we'll be talking soon.
Father, we thank you for this time, fellowship again. On this Sunday evening, we thank you how each of us have gone into our respective local ministries again on this Sunday to worship you as we have devoted and committed ourselves to worshiping you in a corporate and individual settings. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the vision and mission of the overall kingdom being in the hearts of our various pastors and it being shared with us in our hearts so we can be in line with what you have for us to do in our local churches. We thank you that you've revealed many things and you are going to reveal more and manifest your glory in our churches. You're going to manifest your glory in the churches that we have committed ourselves to. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you that you are always with us and you will show yourself strong throughout these broadcasts and throughout all of our lives. I ask you to bless each minister of music that is listening to the sound of my voice, anyone who is aspiring in music ministry, that they would be encouraged and that they would have a sound and firm foundation of your word and a oneness, a relationship with you, first of all, that is sound and continuing, and that it will be expressed through our various ministry gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, of course, P&W Sunday, Praise and Worship Sunday. Tonight, we're going to talk about the foundation of a faith-filled integrity, foundation of faith-filled integrity, of course, in music ministry. The objective for Praise and Worship Sundays, as I said before, is to contribute to the development of you, ministers of music, and the excellence of your ministry, to build a foundation of faith-filled integrity and structure that breathes or exudes glorious excellence in worship toward God and excellence in ministry or aiding toward people. Foundation of faith-filled integrity. Now, the first step to establishing music ministry, whether at the individual level, as a soloist or vocalist, or as a pianist that just does instrumentals or what have you, or a corporate group-like level, which is the majority of you who consider yourself ministers of music. You are in charge of a music department. There's a corporate or group-level responsibility there. In this ministry, just as any other ministry, the first step is to establish integrity. Integrity in the devotion and life of you as an individual, as well as the heart and operation of the ministry that you are called to. Just as you as an individual, your devotion breathes through your life, in your ministry, the heart and spirit and motive of your particular ministry breathes through your ministry. So wherever your heart and your spirit is, and the core of why you're doing what you're called to do will breathe, first of all, out of your life to your devotion, and that will create the heart or the core of your ministry. And that in turn, will breathe through your ministry operation. So it's important as you begin to approach music ministry that you secure your integrity as a person, first of all, and as a minister, before you even approach the specific or the concentration of music in ministry. So it's important, and pastors that are hearing this, it's important that whoever is aspiring to direct your music ministry, first acquaint with the Word of God at the level of a minister, not just basics of the scripture or completing foundation class or whatever you may call it at your particular local church, but they should have the same responsibility of learning the scripture, rightly dividing the Word of God just as any other minister. The songs that are written, the songs that are sang, the times of exhortation that many minutes of music take in between songs, before songs, they should have words that are sound. No matter how, if you say five words before a song, it should be with, it should be according to knowledge, as scripture tells us, and not just zeal. But having a zeal, that's according to knowledge. There should be excitement. There should be an exuberance about what we do. And it should be according to knowledge. Every person who is considered any type of minister in our church should be acquainted, not only acquainted, but be expert in the scripture. The theological stance should be sound and according to knowledge of the Word of God, revelation knowledge at that. It's important for us as ministers of music, for approaching it, so you just know that you're called. You haven't even actually had a chance to operate. You're at a great point right now to be hearing this. You need to set a firm foundation. And even those of you who are at churches that may not require that, you initiate it. You're no excuse about it. You've heard it. You initiate being well acquainted with the Word of God. Scripture tells us to walk worthy of our vocation, and this includes our life and ministry. We have to have a life and ministry of integrity. Integrity is explained in Hebrew origin as holy. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 speaks about God sanctifying us holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, entire, our entire being. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you holy, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He is faithful, we should be faithful as well. Just as he is holy, we are to be holy. He's called us to be holy as he is holy. Prosperity and in its entirety is given to us in scripture. That is explained as by, that is the explanation within Hebrew origin, definition of integrity as well. 3 John verse 2 says, love that which above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Integrity also is explained in Hebrew origin as purity. 1 Timothy 4 and 12 says, let no man despise thy youth. This is Paul talking to Timothy. The latter portion says, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Timothy was being developed by the Spirit and by Paul into a minister, into a evangelist as well. One who travels and speaks the word. And in his preparation, Paul continuously urged him in this matter as far as being an example. He urged him concerning purity. And in this particular verse, he talks about him being an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. This is imperative for us as ministers, period, to be an example. And not being sound in these things and sure and establishing these things just for the sake of being an example, but for the fact that it is required by the one who is in us, God himself. In Philippians, I quote the scripture all the time, Philippians 2:13, it's he that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that works in us. And we know Ephesians 3:20, to now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. He works in us. And it's up to us to work out what he has worked inside of our hearts. And we do that because we love him. We do that because we're one with him. And in doing that, we are an example to the believers. I've seen many times where persons put on a certain falseness of humility or love. They act as if they are walking in love for the sake of, oh, I got to be an example. But it's the motive and the core of our being an example, or as Paul used the word, a written epistle among men, is because of our oneness and our love for God. That is the origin, that is the motive. Love toward God and toward others is to be our motive. It's to be the motivator. Faith worketh by love, and we walk according to faith. The love of God in the heart, that as scripture says, shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost, is to motivate our life, our walking out of what our belief system is, what we believe. We believe what God has said. We believe that God only exists with your words and that diligently seek him, and that he is one with us. We are one with him. He and us, and we and him, we're one in Christ, in the Spirit, and we operate according to that love and walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we have fellowship one with another. Soundness is explained, integrity is explained in the English origin as soundness of mind, soundness of speech, and decency. Soundness of mind is spoken of in 1 and 2 Timothy 1:7, where Paul says, tell Timothy, encourage Timothy throughout the things that he was going through as far as imprisonment and all of the persecution that he was dealing with. He was telling Timothy to be encouraged. And he was telling him he was fortifying his mind, being sound and secure. And he gave reference to and spoke of a spiritual principle and truth that applies to every believer's life, and especially those who, and first of all, those who are in ministry, because if we don't reach this point, we can't reach back and convert. We cannot strengthen our brother, because we're first to be converted, as Jesus says in Scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Soundness of speech is Book 11, Titus 2:8. But speak out the things which become a sound doctrine. That's verse 1 and verse 8 says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. This truth must be implanted in the heart of this generation now that is in the music industry and in the ministry of music, because it has been briefly spoken on and lightly dealt with in past times, but we must, especially in this time, allow this truth in itself, a soundness of speech, which also would include conduct, should be so evident in our lives that, as Paul said to Titus, the contrary part, which is the world, a secular society, cannot, they would actually be ashamed, because they will not have anything to say of you. They may try to say something, they may try to write reports, media may try to catch you in a scandal, but they won't, because your speech is sound and because your life and your conduct is sound. It's important for us to set that up now. If you are aspiring to, some of you will reach a global stage, some of you will just be local. It's according to what he will. It's according to his will. Whether the world sees you or not, there is a world that is ordained for you, and it may be 500 miles wide, or it may be 500,000 miles wide. It's according to what God has willed for your life. And be, as Paul says, be content with whatever he is given, whatever measure he is given for you. Be content with that. It's important for us to get that foundation now, that our speech be sound, and that our lives and our conduct be sound. And not for the sake of no one being able to say anything, but for the sake of pleasing God first, and knowing that in that, being reassured that in us securing a foundation of a life of godliness, that no one will be able to put their mouths on you successfully. Whatever weapon is formed will be condemned. And the scripture actually says these words, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And it says, In judgment, you will condemn. You condemn it through your sound speech and your sound life. You condemn it. Matthew 5:37, Jesus speaks these words, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. James 5:12 follows right along with Jesus and says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, either by heaven, either by earth, neither by any other oath, whether you be yea and you may be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. There have been a couple of instances with notable gospel industry artists who, because of the pressure of media and even the church, have come out in some form. Some have spoken just simply out of frustration. And it is important for us, as there's a song out actually by Sherry, of Penn and Sherry, to encourage yourself. It's important for us if no one else encourages us. Now, there's broadcasts and there's mediums that are being used for encouragement, exhortation, and edification, for instruction and training like this one, but they're few, far, and in between. If you have not heard enough, encourage yourself. If you have not heard enough encouragement from the pastor you're serving under, the ministers that you're serving with, your colleagues in the music ministry or ministry as a whole, if you have not heard enough encouragement, don't be discouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Too many times, scandal-driven situations have caused those in the limelight to get frustrated and actually lash back. It's important for us to be sound in our mind and encourage ourselves enough and fellowship with those who are of like faith and who are walking in the light as he is in light, having fellowship one with another, so that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us continuously of every sin, cleansing our conscience. Having a pure conscience so our mind doesn't go crazy because of the persecution and the attack that the enemy, he's our enemy. He's going to attack. And sometimes because persons give place to him, it's in the church and those who are right near us, because someone at a distance doesn't have a sect, and he knows that. So we try to use, or even be successful in using them, but the weapon that is formed through that particular tactic or attack will not be prosperous. It will not succeed because we are God. We are in him, and he is in us. So it's important for us to be found in our minds. It's important for us to be encourage ourselves, and allow the truth to be our shield, and allow the truth to be ever in our mouth. We speak the truth in love, and we walk according to truth, letting our yea be yea and our nay be nay, unless we fall into condemnation, as James says. We will not be condemned if we walk in the Spirit, as Romans 8 says. Decency is in the English origin of integrity, and we all know about the decency scripture with Paul to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, we see where Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. Paul states this after giving instruction concerning the ministry gift operation in corporate worship. And we know that he speaks of it between chapters 12 through 14. 13 talks about love and how love is to motivate every gift. And 12 and 14 deal with the specifics of the gift. And in our operation of gifts, now music can often and is often used as a medium for a prophetic message to be gotten across, or even a encouraging message or a healing message. So you'll see anointed musicians team up with persons who are called to healing ministries, or even they themselves be called to healing ministry, or they may operate in the office of a prophet or be just simply prophetic. And the medium of music is used as, if you will, a vehicle to carry that word from the mind and the heart of God to the person or body of person that it is ordained for. So you'll see music being used as that type of medium, that type of vehicle, and many worship settings. In the operation of those gifts, it's important for us to have a foundation in our heart and our mind of decency and order. And that comes out of our devotion. If a person is not operating in order, 9 times out of 10, their devotion is not consistent, and their devotion is not sound. Their devotion is based on error, and therefore they operate in error. It's important for us to secure and be establishing a foundation of decency and order, operating in truth and order. Integrity is expressed in Scripture by Jesus and his communication to the disciples. You see him teaching continuously and unfolding the will of the Father whenever he had the opportunity. Whenever the opportunity presented itself, he would unfold Scripture. You see oftentimes where he would speak a parable and then the disciples would question him, or he would even just initiate conversation with them and unfold to them the revelation of what he just spoke of. And in his teaching continuously, you always saw that he never changed. He was always consistent, and he was always faithful, faith-filled. He always operated in the power of God. He always operated one with the Father. So you saw that there was no, as we see in Scripture, no shadow turning with him. The only time you see even a hint of that is in the garden, but he quickly said, not my will, but thy will be done. Pharisees and Sadducees, he communicated to them with integrity, answering their actions and questions with truth to their error. I'm going to go back to the disciples' point that I just made. I use the word hint purposely. I don't want anyone to say that she says it was a shadow turning in Jesus, who is God in the flesh. A hint of shadow turning, but he quickly said, not my will, but thine will be done. So there was no shadow, but there was a hint of him wanting to not wanting to do what was ordained for him to do. It was the cross. Come on, y'all. It was the cross. But as we say all the time, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus expressed integrity in his communication to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He answered their questions and their actions and questions with, listen to this, truth to their error. And in their attempted snares, he revealed their hearts, as Simeon prophesied to Mary, as recorded in Luke 2:35, yea, sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And many of the hearts were revealed while he walked this earth. And in our operation and ministry, imitating and following the life of Jesus and his example, many hearts will be revealed. What a good or bad, I've seen it happen prophetically. Our words have been saying or spoken, as I talked about earlier, with the medium of music being an accompaniment or a compliment, and hearts are revealed, and people come to a point of repentance that can and will happen in our churches again. Jesus communicated or he expressed integrity in his operation and in life in authority, understanding that he was authority itself. In Mark 12 and 15 through 17, Jesus answers another snare attempt of the Pharisees with the statement and demand, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, as well as his coming before Pontius Pilate just before his false accusing and suffering of the death of the cross, as recorded in Mark 15, Matthew 27, Luke 23, and John 18. He expressed integrity also with his unity with the Father, in spirit and word and in deed. In John 10:30, he says, I and the Father are one. In John 5:30, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I speak not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. Unity indeed, he does, is shown, in John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. You see, unity of Jesus with the Father in spirit, word, and in deed. He said only what he heard the Father say. He did only what he saw the Father do. His judgment is just. As he heard, he judged. As he heard, he said it. As he heard, he spoke. As he saw, he did. We see integrity expressed by Paul to the churches in Romans, Corinthians, letters 1 and 2, the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians, letters 1 and 2. He pleaded to them the persecution, the requirement to ward he and the other persons of ministry to walk worthy of their vocation. And he made statements of death to those of us in ministry that the land can live, and more statements like these. Paul, in his communication to Timothy, Philemon, and Titus, as he mentored many times, being referred to as a father in the gospel to them. And he also referred to that phrase as well, fathered in the gospel. Integrity is exposed to the home, to the church, and to the world. Those of us in music ministry must take care of things at home before we approach ministry. It's said many times to preachers, if you don't take care of home, how can you do the things that are in the house of God? It's the same thing that those who are in the ministry of music. It's a ministry. We are not exempt. You can't be traveling all over the world or always at the church, directing the choir, and directing the praise and worship team, telling the youth choir and children's choir what to do. When you get home, your house is a mess. Finances all over the place, and children are not in obedience because you are not consistent and not following them correctly or not being a mother to them correctly. Your house has to be straight, and the Word talks about that. 1 Timothy 3:5, for if any man or woman know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith, and is worse than infidel, is worse than a sinner. I just to suffer slander. I'm not going to give commentary on that. Integrity is exposed to the church. 2 Timothy 2:19-21 reads, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone name us the name of Christ apart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. 1 Peter 2:4-6 reads, to whom coming as unto a live of living stone, the surrounding of men, chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. We are lively stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That is the mission statement of our lives as believers, the mission statement of our ministry life as ministers of music. The purpose, the objective of all that we do when we come together is to offer up spiritual sacrifices. and to offer up worship, and to offer up praise and give glory to his name, not our name, not our churches. There is a place for honoring those who are in ministry leadership. There is a time and a place for that. Ultimately, our worship services are to worship God. We don't worship one another. We are not to worship any God other than him. Integrity is exposed or expressed to the world. Matthew 5:13-14 reads, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." There are benefits to embodying integrity in our life and in our ministry. We have peace of mind. We have a reputable life. It brings us bodily health. Our ministry is positively effective. Our integrity ensures a clear channel for the liberty of the Spirit on all fronts in ministry operation and in daily application. So when it comes to the Sunday worship services, those of you are plural, multiple amounts, or even midweek services or conferences that go on in our local church or those that we are called to serve in, there is a clear channel for the liberty of the Spirit consistently. And even in our integrity in what we do, even with our taking care of our bodies, there will be a clear channel and a continuum of effectiveness because our bodies take longer to get fatigued. There will be a consistency. If there, for example, is a conference that runs, you have, say, three services on Sunday, and then throughout the week, there's a conference that is going on the entire week. Now, there is a place for wisdom. You are one person with a great God inside you and for you, and at the same time, you are human. So that we have a physical body that can go only so much alone. So there, God will give you wisdom and strategy on alternating shifts. And it's so important for you to structure your music ministry and department that you are over in a way where it's not a one-man, one-woman show. It's not about you. It's about God and the ministry that you've been called to. So it's important for you in the body of Christ and the church of God and the kingdom of God. There's no such thing as that false sense of job security as you would see in a secular, in the secular world. There is a such thing as persons creating their own false job security by making themselves absolutely indispensable. They don't delegate anything to anybody. They don't train anyone to do what they do so that they're always needed. And that is that's improper. It is false because God will give you strategies and order your steps to where you can train others to take your place and you keep excelling right into glory. And you can get to a point financially, because that's usually our concern, money-wise. You can get to a point financially where you have multiple streams of income, that money is working for you rather than you working for money, so that's not a concern. And the sooner you get to that point, the better it is, because that temptation of operating according to higher rather than operating according to the Spirit would not be an issue the sooner you get to that stage. There are many hirelings out there that will do anything for money. Even in Christendom, in the worldwide church, there are those who will put on a show, entertain, and the worship setting is no longer a worship setting. It's just a social club that just happens to have a steeple on it or have a church name or a worship center name in front of it. But there's entertainers. There's actors. It's so prevalent. But there's an elect, precious people that I believe is coming up and being developed right now by the Spirit of God and will be manifested to the world, not only in music ministry, but in ministry, period. Those who are genuine and have integrity-filled lives and ministry. Integrity imperatives are a responsibility to responsiveness. Integrity says from the beginning, "I will wait on his time because it is as he wills." is according to his will. Integrity initiates ministry operation. Romans 12:6-8 reads, having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us for the prophecies, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, this proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Every gift according to the grace that is given to us, let's do it to the proportion of our faith. This is what Paul is saying here in Romans 12. Integrity says, I will go by his leading. Operating in my ministry gift, I will go by his leading. Not what I want to do, what I'm going to do is not at a timing that I think I'm going to get one in a lifetime exposure, but because he says to. 1 Corinthians 12:11 reads, but all these work is at one in the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All of these gifts. Again, that's in 1 Corinthians 12. Which chapter? One of three chapters that talks about the operation of spiritual gifts in the church. Integrity concludes that it's over when God says it's over. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. It's over when God says it's over. I will not, as they say, milk out every penny or ounce of notoriety or limelight out of a ministry that has been dissolved just because I'm so-and-so. Just because my name has been printed on so many CDs or books or advertisements for conferences or what have you, I'm not going to milk out every ounce of what I can get out of my career or ministry just because it's not a selfish thing. Integrity concludes or resolves that it's over when God says it's over, as well as knowing it's begun when he says it's begun. We try to start things before time, and it's up to God. It is his. It's as he will. 2 Timothy 4:6-8 says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not for me only, but unto them, all them, also that love his appearing. Paul realized that his assignment had been completed according to the righteous judgment of the Lord. Being one spirit with him, he knew the timing of God, and when his part was complete, just as Jesus did towards the end of his life and his earthly ministry. I'm not saying that ministry always ends at the end of life, but we'll know the end of our ministry or the end of a season of ministry, because in different seasons or levels or just particularly different responsibilities at different times in our lives. You may be responsible for ministry for one portion of your life and then you pass it on to the next generation. And at that point, you're overseeing or you're a board member. There are different aspects or seasons. There are going to be times where a time in your life where God moves you to another ministry that is either in the same association or in just another ministry who you've been called to minister to. I actually have had that happen with me. I served in the music ministry at my church I was born and raised at for some years, and the call of God called my entire family. When I say my entire family, I mean my father, mother, and my siblings and I, to go to a church that was about 50 miles away. And there, my music ministry actually excelled. I was a praise and worship leader at the church I was born and raised at. And when I moved to the other church, I was actually pushed by the Spirit of God and to actually be a minister of music over the entire music department, to the point of me directing the praise and worship team, directing all the choirs, also being involved in drama. We didn't have a dance team, being involved in drama, but more so the music department. So praise and worship team was under my direction, all of the choir, including the youth choir, until the pastor's daughter actually stepped up for the youngest choir, that I had two choirs under my direction, as well as the praise and worship team. So I learned a lot of things, what they call school hard knocks, what to do, what not to do, and then I learned to begin to observe those who were in these ministries, who actually operated in it according to excellence and according to the Spirit of God. So I began to observe different things, and then I moved to another region, and now I'm at the point where I am learning more things concerning ministry as a whole, preparing for different things you'll hear about at sea in ministry, and more so doing a lot of writing and directly mentoring some persons in music ministry. So there's different levels and different seasons. That's what I'm referring to when I say that. So God will reveal to you when to leave or when that particular quote-unquote season is over. He will reveal to you and direct you. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and as we mount him in all of our ways, he directs our path. Integrity concludes that it's over when God says it's over. Integrity is initiated when we renew our mind, when we draw nigh to God, and we work out what he's worked in us. Integrity maintained means to continue in love, in faith, and in works. We continue in love according to his spirit with him. Romans 8:38-39, Paul says, "I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You have to resolve that in your mind, and nothing's going to separate you from his love. 2 John 1:6 says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandment." This is the commandment, "that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in love. Continue in faith." Luke 22:32, 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. These two scriptures refer. Speak of that. Luke 22:32 says, "But I pray for thee," these are the words of Jesus, "that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen your brother." Let me get to the point of non-failing faith, a point of true conversion before we even approach strengthening our brother. There's too many persons in ministry, period, that I'm talking to you, ministers of music. There's so many of us getting up before the congregation in our worship leading, and our, whether it's with the praise team or just being a facilitator of the service, particularly with services that are more geared toward musical presentation, concerts, or what have you. We get up and we say everything on the moon. We say everything that just comes to our mind, and don't let us be going through something. It will come out. Don't do that. It's according to the Spirit of God. It's according to what God wants done, what people are needing, and what God wants done. There's different times in the worship services for this different types of music, and we're going to talk about that in future broadcasts. But just to give an overview, there's a time where there's songs that are sang of worship. We're simply sacrificing, giving a sweet-smelling sacrifice, favor toward God, where it's to him. There's no focus or concentration on nobody but him. Now, there's also songs that are message songs that are to be of exhortation and execution to the congregation. Then there's also songs of celebration, where it ends up glorifying God. You're not speaking directly to him, but you're celebrating what he's done. So it brings glory to him. There's different types of songs, and those different types of songs are designated and ordained for different times in the worship service. When it's time for worship, we should not be saying, "I need you, you need me." That has nothing to do with worship. That is in fact, that song was written for the purpose of edification to the body. You have to really qualify the words. I can talk on that all night. But songs of that nature, or "We're going to make it," those are encouraging or songs of exhortation. That's not worship. Worship is, "I love you, Lord, and I live my voice." You're talking to him. "To worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy." You're talking to him. That's worship. Praise the same way. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." "Thank you, Lord. Praise. I praise you." Those are songs of praise, the songs of worship. Those are supposed to go toward him. Now, the songs and message where you're speaking to the congregation. Stand. What do you do when you don't know you can't? You stand. Stand on what? The word of God. That's a song, a message song. And then songs of celebration, where you talk about God is good all the time. God is good type of song, a word. And the songs, that's the different types of songs. There's different portions of even different atmospheres that they belong in. This song is a celebration. This song is a message or a story, depiction. There's a song that's sang by a choir. I won't say the names because I want to get into that habit, but there's a song of a choir that is based on Matthew 28 that depicts a story. And the musical content and definitely the words hold so much power, and there is a complementary relationship between the two, the text, the words, and the music, the lyrics and the music. That makes the song so powerful. The words of strange scripture and the emphasis or the climax of the song emphasizes a particular part of the chapter that talks about the resurrection of Jesus, which is the gospel event in Romans 1:16. So when it comes to the worship setting, there are different types of songs, and we are to come to a place of conversion before we begin to strengthen our brother. And many times we'll have to go before the error in our worship comes from the fact that we haven't even been converted ourselves. It's for us to be converted. We also are through integrity, in integrity in ministry and leadership, and duplicated through shutting our brother after
great, as I talked about, also bearing the burdens of our colleagues. As we walk in life, it seems like we have fellowship one with another in that fellowship, and we are going throughout this life, and we are faced with persecution, are faced with attack. We can encourage one another, and we can strengthen one another, bearing each other's burdens. And we see in Galatians basically saying we take the burdens of the other. We are showing care toward them and love toward them, bearing their burdens and taking them to the Lord, actually being concerned about what's going on with our colleagues. And about we see Galatians 6 and 2, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Integrity in ministry and leadership is also duplicated when fruitful fellowship remains, when we continue to fellowship one with another. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Ephesians 5:19-20 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're speaking to ourselves in psalms. We're speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart. We give thanks always, giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul speaks these words to the church of Ephesus, encouraging them on the edification that is to take place not only with us individually, but corporately as a body. Paul talks concerning that as a minister of music, anyone who is approaching ministry in any form, whether it's music ministry, whether it's ministry of evangelism, ministry and teaching, ministry as prophet, ministry as a overseer, or bishop, ministry as a pastor, one who's responsible to be, as we say, in the church, an under-shepherd, being responsible for the souls of multiple persons. Any ministry, it's important for us before approaching it to establish integrity in our lives, and that will in turn breathe through our ministry. So we have a sound mind, we have a sound heart, we have a sound lifestyle, sound conduct, and it breathes out in our ministry. In music ministry, we will not sing a song that's not pleasing to God. We will not conduct a music department that's not pleasing to God. We will not treat those who are in our leadership or under our direction any old kind of way. We will be kind, as Scripture says, especially to those in the house of God, because it pleases God. Every ministry says that, and communicates that the song of it is, I will please God. The song of it is, I will love God. I will love my neighbor as myself. I will speak the truth in love. Integrity in ministry says all of these things, and ultimately, God is the one who is to be praised and to be worshipped. So it brings through our life and, in turn, our ministry. It supports us to have integrity.